Mark chapter 11 and the first verse. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Amen. And this is God's word to us this morning. Let's bow our heads for a moment and let's pray together. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the message that comes through from that time and time again to us. And we pray this morning, Father God, as we begin this first Sunday in Advent, that you would just speak to us clearly through your word, that you would encourage us, and that you would inspire us today. Father God, we pray that you'd help us to lay aside all other thoughts, that we might concentrate on your word, and that we might hear you. That we might not hear the stammering, stuttering words of your servant, but Father God, that we might hear you speaking to us, encouraging us, inspiring us this morning. Father God, be at work amongst us by your Spirit in these moments. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know by now how much I like my films. Somebody commented the other day that I watch too much television. Hopefully not. But films. Christmas time. What better film to use than Miracle on 34th Street? I wonder if you've seen it. It's a great old film from the 40s that was given a 90s revamp. The film centres on a little girl and her single mother. The mother is a career woman. She heads up the advertising and promotion side of a large department store, a children's department store in town. A big toy store, the Hamleys of America. At Christmas, her main job is to arrange a large and extravagant Christmas parade right through the city centre. This in turn draws people into the store to see Santa Claus and to buy all the toys and gifts. But this particular year, her Santa Claus is a disaster. But fortunately, passing by is a man who looks very Santa-like, and she employs him, and he goes down the street. Anyway, not to spoil the film too much for you, let me encourage you to get it. It's a great film to watch. Towards the end, the woman is so caught up in her work, so caught up in the planning of the parade, so much caught up in the disaster of the Santa Claus, so much then caught up in the fact that our Santa is so good that the other department stores in town are trying to destroy her and him. She ends up missing the main event. The main event for her is the fact that her daughter rediscovers the magic of Christmas. For her herself, the main event was that she had the possibility of finding romance in her life once more, meeting Mr. Wright. As with all good films, in the end, all is well. But as I think of that film, I come to realise that just like that woman, there are many in our world today, nay, dare I say it, maybe even some of us this morning, who are so caught up in the busyness of life that we miss the main event. People are so caught up in getting the best attractions in their garden to decorate them. People are so desperate to find the best presents for their children, even when they cannot afford them. People are so caught up arranging the best Christmas dinner ever, getting everything bought in, everything prepared to be on the table at the right time, in the right order, getting everything ready, that they miss what Christmas is all about. They forget the real reason for the season. This Christmas, I want to remind us that there is more to Christmas and more to life. And hopefully that will encourage us. But hopefully it will do more than encourage us. Hopefully it will challenge us to go out and to remind our family and our friends and those in the streets around this area what the real message of Christmas is. This morning we begin with missing the main event. Now, I didn't actually look around too closely a few moments ago, but I wonder how many of you, as we read or reading this morning, had a puzzled look on your face, thinking, he's got it wrong again. He's thought of Easter instead of Christmas. Go on, be honest. Have a smile to yourself and say, we thought he got it wrong. Right you are. It is Christmas. It's not Palm Sunday. We're not in the lead up to the events of the cross at Easter time. We're in the lead up to Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ. But you know what? There are so many points in this passage that remind me about missing the main event. And so I want to take them from this passage and remind us this year that the main event is the celebration of God's greatest gift to the world, the gift of his own Son. Let's learn some lessons even from what is traditionally an Easter story. Jesus has been ministering around the countryside for almost 3 years by the time we reach this passage. He has been healing the sick. He has been restoring sight to the blind. He has been making the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. Indeed, on the way towards Jerusalem that day, Jesus and his disciples have come through Jericho. And if you cast your eyes back just a few verses into Mark 10, you will see that he came across a blind man called Bartimaeus. And Jesus asked him what he wanted. And Bartimaeus responded to him, Rabbi, I want to see. And there and then Jesus healed that man. And Bartimaeus could see. And he followed Jesus. Jesus had not just been healing the sick though. He had not just been working miracles in their lives. But he had been preaching good news. He had been telling them of their sin. He had been pointing light, shining light into the darkness of their world and into their lives. And he had been pointing them back to God the Father. Some responded, while others chose to ignore him and to make him out to be a fool. And so as we reach this passage in Mark 11, Jesus is heading into Jerusalem, knowing himself that this is it. The days that lie in front of him are the culmination of his life's work. The events that will follow in the coming week will see God's plan worked out on earth for all people. And his disciples are blissfully unaware of this, as are those who follow that day. Here in Mark 11, Jesus approaches Jerusalem. He sends two disciples on ahead of him into the village they're approaching. He gives them specific instructions. Find a colt that's never been ridden, untie it, bring it back. And this is what they do. Why a colt? Why a donkey? Was it because they remember, Jesus remembered his entry into the world, as Mary rode on the back of a donkey all the way from Nazareth in towards Bethlehem? Possibly, but I suspect not. He chose a donkey so as to get the attention of the people around him that day. He used a symbolic animal for his entrance to the city. The donkey was seen as an honourable animal. Kings rode on donkeys in peacetime and on horses during war. The symbolism then here is of the Prince of Peace. Jesus wanted to be enthroned in people's hearts as king. As Jesus went to get on the donkey, his followers placed their cloaks over the top so that he had something to sit on rather than the bare back of that donkey that had never been ridden. As they journeyed along, we read that many people spread their cloaks on the road Here we see people joining the crowd but not recognizing the main attraction. They see something unusual happening and want to join in. They're excited by what they see and want to be part of it. I wonder, have you ever seen a bride leave her house, get into her big posh car to head out for her wedding? As soon as you see that, it used to be the case, traditionally anyway, that people would rush out. They would rush out to collect the coins that she would throw, or her dad would throw out of the car window as it left her house and her street and headed towards the church. Everybody gathered. They joined in, but they missed the main event. They came for the coins, not to see the beautiful bride. And the same happens as you come to the church on a wedding day. A crowd gathers together. People come to see the bride step out of her car, to see the beautifully crafted dress that she is wearing, to take time to comment on it with one another. But again, they miss the main attraction. The main attraction of a man and a woman. Love, and so much love with each other, joining together in marriage. Friends, here in Mark 11, we see people joining a crowd but missing the main attraction as well. As Jesus and his followers journey into Jerusalem, people see this entourage approaching and they wonder what is going on. They see Jesus sitting on a donkey with cloaks covering its back. They see others beginning to lay their cloaks down on the ground. So they want to do the same. They get their cloaks off and they lay them down. They see others with branches waving them and putting them down on the ground. People join in the procession. And they join in the profession that day without probably realizing what on earth was going on in front of their eyes. How can we be sure of this? Well, people were taking off their cloaks. Taking off the cloaks that they had on their back and they were laying them down. They weren't getting their spare clothes or their old clothes. They weren't getting nice white linen that they had maybe made especially for the occasion. They laid down what they had. Others were in the field working, presumably doing something anyway with branches. And they cut them down and they brought them out and they laid them down. Others saw the branches in the fields and thought, we'll sneak in and we'll get them and we'll come and we'll lay them down. They were joining in with the crowd, joining in with what was going on without probably realizing what on earth it was that was actually happening. They did not recognize the main attraction and their desire just to join in with what was going on. The people probably had a little bit of an idea what they were doing, who they were following, or at least they maybe thought they knew who they were. Only kings rode into the main cities on the back of donkeys. They came to announce peace to the inhabitants. At this time the Romans were in town. They were the ruling authority. They were taking over the country, and the people were still looking for someone to come and to bring them peace. They were looking for one who would overthrow the ruling authorities, one who would bring the country back under their own rule once more. The crowd thought that this man on the back of this donkey was that man. They saw someone riding into the city on a donkey, and they presumed he would bring peace. They joined the crowd, but I don't think they recognized the main attraction. Did many not do exactly the same at Christmas time? We see the crowds gathering in the Thistle Centre. I dare say if you took a drive past this afternoon, you would find a big crowd gathering around the shops today, joining the crowd in the hustle and bustle of Christmas shopping. And in doing all that, they run the risk of missing the main attraction. We see the crowds running around the supermarkets fighting over the last turkey. And we all join in to make sure we get the food that we want for Christmas time. We see the crowds queuing up with our kids to see Santa Claus, and we join in scared that we won't get in to see them and our kids will leave disappointed. We join the crowd, but we miss the main attraction of Christmas. Jesus was more than a babe born in a manger. He was more than a king on the back of a donkey offering peace. He is the Saviour of the world. He is God's greatest gift to humanity. Don't, please, don't get caught up joining the crowd this Christmas and missing the main attraction. As we continue to look at this event of this Palm Sunday, we come to notice that people are seeing the show but missing the main message. People are being dazzled by the laying down of cloaks and branches and they want to join in. They're caught up in the atmosphere of what is going on before their very eyes. They are mesmerized. They want to behold the spectacle in front of them. They see the show. Some people, when they go to the circus, get so caught up in the sideshows on the way in, the peripheral attractions, that they never get to see the main attraction in the centre of the ring. It happens everywhere. I remember a time years ago going to watch the football with my brother. We lived in Crieff at the time. He's 10 years younger than I am, so he'd have been about 10 or 11. We drove through to watch Hibs playing St Johnstone. 10 or 11 year old boy. He likes to see the show, but hey, his mind wanders just a little bit after a little while. Half an hour into the game, he's desperate, not for the football, he's desperate for his half-time pie and Bovril. Hamish, can we go? Can we go inside and get it? No, no, brother, no, you stop. Just a little bit longer. 10 more minutes. Just a little bit more. Please, 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 my pie. So what do? We go inside for the pie. And what happens as soon as we're inside? A big shout goes up outside. Have scored the only goal of the game. We saw the show, but we missed the main message. We missed the main part of what was going on. These people joining the crowd on the way into Jerusalem saw the show. They saw people welcoming a king into the city. They saw people laying down their cloaks and their branches. They saw the show and they were excited by it. But they missed the main message. Jesus wasn't riding in on the back of that donkey to overthrow the Roman authorities. He wasn't coming to bring peace. Certainly not the kind of peace they were thinking of anyway, from the Roman rulers. Jesus was entering Jerusalem for the last time that week. He was heading for the cross of Calvary. He was going to be crucified and to die. He was going to give his life as a ransom for many. He was dying in my place. He was bearing the punishment of my sins upon his shoulders. And he was doing that for you as well. Jesus was about to become the Savior of the world. The main message was that sin had so driven us away from God that we couldn't get back on right terms with God on our own. Jesus had to die to save us. He had to die to help restore our relationship with God. Jesus died that we might live. The main message was that a king was coming into town riding on the back of a donkey. He was coming to bring peace, but not peace from ruling Roman authorities. He was coming to bring peace between God and between man. But people were so caught up seeing the show that they missed the main message. What do we want in life? We want to be entertained. We want to be dazzled. We want to be thrilled. We want to be excited. We want to be satisfied. Jesus didn't enter Jerusalem that day to dazzle us. He entered Jerusalem to die for us. How many this Christmas will see the show? We'll see the lights, we'll see the tree, we'll see the presents, we'll see the food, we'll see the parties, all the peripheral attractions that can be enjoyed. Don't get me wrong. But we must take care not to miss the main message of Christ's birth. Not only did these people miss the main attraction and the main message, but they were only making Jesus king for a day and not Lord for life. Everyone who gathered around Jesus that day, both going on ahead of him, laying down their cloaks and branches, those following behind shouting and screaming, they were excited. They were caught up in the show. They proclaimed, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." They were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for one who would free them from the Romans. They were looking for God's chosen one. They even used words that the psalmist had as they cried out. Notice the word Hosanna. It means to save. They were looking to be saved from the life that they had. And they thought that this was the one in front of them who could do that. By the way they treated Jesus that day, laying down their cloaks and branches, welcoming him into the city as a king, shouting out these words of praise and adulation, they were making Jesus king right enough. But only king for a day, Why do I say that? Look at verse 11. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. No one was in the temple. The crowd had followed him, shouting and screaming in their excitement. They had disappeared. They had, or they were, disappearing. Nobody was there but the 12 who came with them. The crowd, shouting and screaming in their excitement, had disappeared. They had made him king for the day. But when night came, they wandered away. Even the next day, as Jesus arose from his sleep in Bethany, headed back into Jerusalem, there was no crowd around him. Oh, he managed to draw a crowd by the time he turned the tables in the temple and began to teach the people. And these people, if you skip down to verse 18, were even amazed by his teaching. But they did not proclaim him as a king for the second day. And even worse, by the time the week was out, they changed their cry of Hosanna, save me, to demanding, crucify him, crucify him. The crowd that had made Jesus king on Palm Sunday, but by Good Friday he was being nailed to a cross. The crowd had changed their opinion. Not that it mattered. Not that it mattered, for Jesus' death on the cross was already planned and prepared for by God Almighty. This was the consummation of Jesus' life on earth. He had to die that our sins could be forgiven. These people were quick to make Jesus king for the day, but they could not go further and make him Lord for life. Romans 10 and 9 reminds us that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. These people saw an attraction. They saw a show, and they thought they had someone to bring them peace from the Romans, but having got caught up in the crowd, they missed the main attraction. They saw the show but missed the main message. They missed being saved for all of eternity. They missed the opportunity to make Jesus Lord of their life. And Jesus is Lord. There is no denying that. To use a more Christmas time text, if you turn to John chapter 1. John 1, we read these words in verse 1. He was with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus is Lord. It's because he is God. He is Lord because he was with God in the very beginning. He is the Creator. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. He is the Creator. He is one with God. He is Creator as well. And he is also Lord because he is our Redeemer. Verse 12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Verse 16, from the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. Jesus and his grace and mercy and love died on the cross to save us. Jesus is Lord. There is no denying it. But people still want to make him king for a day and not Lord for life. Colossians 1:19, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus died to save us from sin. He died to be our Redeemer. To make Jesus Lord for your life, you simply have to come to him. Confess with your lips that he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Repent, turn your life around, and Jesus will be your Lord. Not for a day, not for Christmas, but your Lord for life. This Christmas, the question is, are you missing the main event? On a Sunday over 2,000 years ago, Jesus entered Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, and people missed the main event. They didn't understand what was going on. They joined the crowd, but they did not recognize the main attraction. They saw the show, but they missed the main message. They made Jesus king for a day, but not Lord for life. We're in danger of missing the main event this Christmas as well. We're in danger of joining the crowd and getting everything ready for the celebrations, the food, the presents, the parties, the cards, but not recognizing the main attraction, the one without whom we wouldn't have Christmas in the first place to celebrate. We're in danger of seeing the show, getting caught up in all of the fun and all of the excitement, whilst missing the main message: Jesus Christ, God's own Son, born to a virgin called Mary in a dirty stable because there was no room for them in the inn. That one who grew up to die on the cross to save the world from their sin. We're in danger of making Jesus king for a day, celebrating his birthday whilst we party away, but not making him Lord for life. This Christmas, I hope that none of us miss the main event, and I hope we encourage others too. Not just to join the crowd, not just to see the show, not just to make him king for a day, but I hope that we will encourage people in our family, in our workplace, around this neighbourhood, to see the main attraction, to get the main message, and that they might make Jesus Lord for life. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is always relevant for us and our situations, that your word is always true. We thank you that we can see, even in this message this morning, what it is to miss the main event. And Father God, we pray that you would help each of us not to get so caught up in Christmas that we miss what it's all about. And Father God, we pray that you give us the strength and the courage to go out and to share with others what the main message of Christmas is as well. Father God, help us to teach them that there is more to Christmas and more to life than they know. Help us to show them that they, in coming to the main event, can see Jesus and can make him Lord of their lives forever. Lord, help us to remember this Christmas, not to get caught up, and to share with others. For we pray, asking it all, in Jesus' name.